We open this edition of Chapter and Verse Radio with this word of encouragement from Mike McIntosh.
A soft answer turns away wrath. So instead of trying to prove that you're right with somebody that yells at you, just say, "Hey, I'm really sorry. You want to talk about it? Let's work this out." Then after they punch you a couple times and you get up, just be gentle and kind, okay? But a soft answer turns away wrath. Remember that.
And I'll stand up and shout.
The book of Proverbs gives us important insight and instruction on how we can better our lives and be the people God wants us to be. Today we're going to once again be in the 15th chapter with a message based off verse 1. If we turn our attention to the New Testament and the book of James, we see a unique look at the tongue. In chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, we read, "Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell." James goes on to say that no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. As you can see, we can use our tongues to curse or bless. A soft answer is the title of our message, and now let's join Mike as we continue our studies of the book of Proverbs.
Turn in your Bibles to the Proverbs, the 15th chapter of Proverbs, words of wisdom from Solomon. Okay, we'll begin with the first verse, 15th chapter. If you're new to the Bible, Proverbs will be right in the very middle, bringing you right up to the prophets. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Now, this will come in handy for everybody at some time in your life, if not more than once. But those of you that are in law enforcement, you know very well that there's times that you use verbal judo and you can get people to do things you want them to do just by your voice and your commands. And there is a time in all of our lives where there's somebody super, super angry. And if you just take it a notch below them and just get humbler and meeker and quieter, it's just hard for them to blow up with anger and rage. But if you follow up like the second part of that verse with, but his wrath is against him who causes shame. The soft answer turns away wrath, but harsh words stir up anger. So if you've ever seen a bar brawl or bar fight or some drunken idiots at the beach or at a party or something, it's always, "Oh yeah," and the next, "Yeah, I'll show you, and they keep escalating. So wisdom says don't let it keep escalating, bring it down to where you can manage it when you want to manage. I remember one night I was out San Diego Police, and it was summer, and it was real late at night, I think 1 a.m, there was some fog down by Ocean Beach, it was a little bit eerie that night, and we got this call, a guy was beating his wife, and when we pulled up, the officer I was riding with, she shut her engine off and just coasted over very quietly with her lights off next to the curb, and you could actually hear this man hitting this woman in the face, and they were two houses down, and he was pounding on her against a car. So we got out and ran, and he said, "You follow him." He took off. "I'll take care of her." I said, "No, I'll take care of her. You follow him." You know? And so we went running. So there's this 8-plex, 4 units on one side and 4 on the other side. And I didn't want to walk down there. And I looked down in the dark, and all of a sudden this guy came out so full of rage. I mean, his rage, you just felt it from 4 doors away, and he slammed the door on this apartment, and it actually reverberated up the other 4. And I thought, "Oh my goodness!" And I want to say, could you just wait a minute, buddy?" And all of a sudden, this authoritative voice, this woman said, "Stop!" And I said, "Yes, I'll stop." "Oh, you mean him? Yeah, all right." I mean, her voice just froze that guy, just froze him. But then I remember other times with that exact policewoman, and she would be so soft and gentle, and even crazy people would just melt. That's a good one to circle in the person's Bible sitting on your right-hand side. A soft answer turns away wrath. So instead of trying to prove that you're right with somebody that yells at you, just say, "Hey, I'm really sorry. You want to talk about it? Let's work this out." Then after they punch you a couple times and you get up, just be gentle and kind, okay? But a soft answer turns away wrath. Remember that. Don't go back at a person because that escalates it. But a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly, but the mouth of fools pours forth foolishness. So he's talking about the mouth, four things. Answer wrath quietly. Don't use harsh words because you stir up trouble with other people. The third thing is, if you are a wise person, use your words wisely. If you're a fool, you're just going to pour foolishness out. So watch your tongue. Verse 3, this is one you want to circle on the person sitting on your right-hand side. The eyes of the Lord are in every place. They're in every bedroom. They're at every bar, every club. They're on every sailboat, catamaran. They're on every, he's watching every surfer. He watches everything. So there's nothing secret. That should strike fear in our hearts, really, that we're very cautious, because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So we're cautious, realizing the Lord's watching this. So his eyes are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. So that's why you never need to defend yourself, because God is watching over you. And no matter what the lies or accusations are, God will come ultimately to your defense. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. So if you have a perverse tongue, it's nasty, it's dirty, it's foul, tells dirty stories, it stabs people, it slices people, it dices people, it cuts people. It's going to cause some trouble. It's going to break the spirit of the person that has such a thing. You're going to actually end up breaking your own spirit, though you're trying to harm other people. So the wholesome tongue, people want to be around you because you have words of wisdom and knowledge and understanding, and they benefit by being around you. They learn things. They might even write down a note or two of something you said. But if you're a person that has this perverse tongue that's foul and nasty and dirty, it's going to break the spirit. A fool despises his father's instruction. Now you could say, but you don't know my father. But still, it's the position that you're respecting that God has put there. You're a fool if you despise the father's instruction. But maybe your father's an alcoholic, like my father was. He never gave me a word of instruction my entire life. So he was a fool because he discarded his children. But if I had a child and they despised my instruction, I wouldn't let them leave the room until they understood very clearly what we're talking about. So let's say that you do have some tension in your family, or you don't get along with your father, or your father's an alcoholic or an abuser, or he's divorced and you see him once a year or twice a year or something. It doesn't mean that you need to submit yourself to abuse or wrongdoing or to a perverse mouth. But there is the office, the position, the seat of a father who is to be the head of the wife and of the household, actually. So it's that you're submitting to and you're listening to the instruction. Now, maybe you have a really good dad and you really are a fool and you despise your dad. So what does that old guy know? Or you want to get out of the house. And you don't want to be under his authority. Well, you're kind of foolish, because if you can't learn how to submit in your own family, you're definitely not going to be able to submit to a police officer or a drill sergeant or a professor or a dean. So the home is the place that instruction is taught, and then discipline is brought forth, and it's there that we learn to submit to discipline and instruction, so that we get out on our own in the world. We're able to make decisions, realizing there are repercussions for doing things that are wrong. And so you're a fool if you actually despise the good instruction. But he who receives correction is prudent. In the house, verse 6, of the righteous, there's much treasure. But in the revenues of the wicked is trouble. Now, you can say, well, I'm kind of righteous, but there's not a lot of money in our house. He's not necessarily talking about that. There is treasure, as we'll see in about four or five other scriptures of the Proverbs coming up in 15th and 16th chapter. There is a wealth that you can have that is not a material wealth. And it's the fruit of the Spirit that flows out of your life. One of the greatest assets you have as a righteous person is your friends. Another one is your family members. Another one is your relationship with God. And those, as David said, I used to go to the house of the Lord with those that called upon his name. It's a great thing to have a friend. It's a great thing to have people that you love and that they love you. And if they stand with you at all times. And so the house of the righteous, there's much treasure. And it could be mom and dad don't have a lot of fancy furniture or fancy cars or even a big house, but boy, they do have a lot of love for one another and for their children. That's a treasure in itself. And then he says, but the revenue of the wicked, there's always trouble. So the wicked, if he's getting his revenue illegally, he's owns a business. I was talking to a businessman in Los Angeles last week after the class I was teaching. I went out to lunch with a few of the students, and one of them was a commercial realtor that sold businesses. And I told him I was interested in why people buy businesses and what kind of businesses sell the most. And he gave me a breakdown on businesses. And he said, you'll see that there's the mom and dad that are looking for a good, clean business where they don't have to work for anybody. And this was in the Korean community. So he said, so you'll see a lot of cleaners that are owned by Koreans. So they have something the family can work in, and they can all be supported, and they don't have to work for somebody. But then there are people that want to buy liquor stores and laundromats, and he named off several. And I said, well, why do those lean? He says, because there's cash always flowing through. There's quarters. There's 50 cents. There's no way of controlling how much money came through. And some people illegally, from the start, know they're going to buy this business so they can pocket without paying their taxes. Well, ultimately, the wicked person, his revenues come from wickedness. He's going to have trouble in his house. And it's always going to backfire on you. You always reap what you sow. And so for this person, he's going to have the IRS after him. He's going to have the police after him. He's going to have lawyers after him. He's going to have lawsuits. There's always going to be trouble going on in his household. So you don't want to be wicked and get your revenues from wickedness. I always have a heart for the Indian reservations. We have more reservations here in San Diego than any other county in the United States. But you think of the reservations all around the country, how they have been just that, a reservation for the people that lived in America before the Europeans came. And then if they weren't killed, they were pushed onto these reservations and stripped of all their dignity. And now here we are in modern society, and to give them dignity, we make them slaves to gambling. And they get their money from people going broke, and they get this wealth, and then the money's skimmed and taken other places, that the people are still in poverty on all of these reservations. It's very, very sad. But the person that is getting their wealth and getting their revenue from awful things and horrible things that destroy other people's lives, they're going to have a real big problem. Trouble is going to follow them right to the grave. And that's a very, very sad thing. Years and years ago, I was invited to a state down south. And I don't want to name the state, but this particular county was a dry county. And the family who was hosting me as the guest speaker in this small town for a week of meetings in their local church had put me up at their house. And it was a very nice house. And this was a middle to lower middle income community. And I noticed, one of the first things I noticed was Elvis decanters, you know, whiskey decanters of Elvis and horses, and they're all over the house and then down in the basement where my room was. And the father sat in front of the big screen most of the time drinking whiskey. And he had like this huge, huge collection of all these liquor bottles. And so I asked the woman and her daughters who had invited me to be the guest, and the pastor had brought me to their home, and I said, wow, somebody sure has a big collection here. These things are probably valuable. I mean, you don't often see Elvis in his white jumpsuit as a top of a whiskey deal, and you know. And they said, well, there are my father's. Said, my father's an alcoholic. So you'll see him all day just drinking down there in the basement when you go to your room. And sure enough, for a week, all day, from morning to night, sitting there drinking. I said, well, how do you all live? He said, oh, we're very wealthy. Well, how do you make your money? So my father owns several liquor stores on the county line. See, the county and the town that they live in, totally dry, can't have alcohol. But he makes tons of money, apparently, from having the very first liquor stores as you leave town, or the very first ones as you're entering town. But yet he's so unhappy and so miserable. That which he's selling to other people is actually killing him. So the wise person is happy with the treasures that are in your life. Can you not say this is an awesome day outside this building? I mean, this is why real estate prices are crazy in San Diego. This is the ultimate Del Marvelous day. This is it right here. This is, I mean, perfect. All of you that were surfing, you wish you were still surfing. In the house of righteous, there's much treasure, but in the revenue of the wicked is trouble. The lips of the wise, they disperse knowledge. But the heart of the fools A fool does not do so. They don't have any knowledge. They just tell stupid stories or talk about themselves. But if you're a wise person, you're dispersing knowledge. You always have something to put into the story time with your friends. The sacrifice, verse 8 and 9, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. But the prayer of the upright is his delight. Underline that. But the prayer of the upright is his delight. So you say, well, I said a little prayer this morning. That's God's delight. You're asking the Lord for something. That's God's delight. For you to talk to him and put a petition or a request before him, it's his delight. He delights in you. He delights in your words. He delights in answering your prayers. But look at the contrast, the word but. I mentioned this to you before. It is not found any more places in the Bible than by Solomon's writing the Proverbs. But Solomon used the word but to be a hinge to show contrast. And every scripture that he gave these words of wisdom became a contrast. And you can see it with that word but flips the coin over and shows you it's a head or a tail. It's the opposite of what he just said. The sacrifice of the wicked, that's an abomination to the Lord. But in contrast, the prayer of the upright is his delight. So God delights in certain things in people's lives, and he abhors other things. Now, if you were to just sit quietly, knowing that the eyes of the Lord are watching you right now and watching me and watching the boa constrictors down in the Amazon at the same time, he's everywhere, would there be anything that you could honestly say, I bet you God abhors this in my life. I know he doesn't like this. God, you've spoken to me about this many, many times. Then ask yourself the other side of the coin. Is there anything in my life that God delights in? Well, you know, I like to pray. God delights in it. I love helping people. God delights in it. I love reading the Word and getting to know him. He delights in that. But if there's anything that you could be honest about in your own life that even the person closest to you that's sitting next to you right now or you live with and they're not here, if they don't even know it, but you and God know it, there's just something inside you that's got to go. And you've known it for a long time. Well, it's the contrast. God abhors this, but he delights in this. And I guarantee you that if you will confess your sin, God, who is faithful and just, will cleanse you of your unrighteousness and forgive you of all your sin. And see, the devil would have you hang on to whatever it is that's abhorred by God. And he'd tell you, no, you can hang on to that. That's all right. That's cool. You know, that's just you. Nobody knows about that. Just you. But the eyes of the Lord are everywhere, and he knows about it. So maybe it's something that you've walked around your whole life since you're a boy or girl, or since you were a 13-year-old or a 12-year-old, and you just can't get rid of it. Once it hit you, you just could not get rid of it. Lust, whatever it is. Well, God can take it, and he can free you, and you can be a great delight in God's eyes. And this problem, this issue, this thing of your flesh can be dissolved in an instant the moment you ask God to take it. So the contrast, the way of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, and here's the contrast. But he loves him who follows righteousness. So the person that's following the party spirit, the person that's following the way of wickedness, the Ouija board and the tarot cards and the astrology and the witchcraft and the Wicca and off into these things, they're an abomination to God. But the person that is really working at righteousness, this is a great delight and a pleasure to God to watch. Now, why is it that the person that's trying to be a nice young woman or a good dude is always having a struggle, and yet the wicked people seem to get away with everything and never have any heartache or problems? They just seem to just cruise. It's because their dad's a liar. And their dad says, there's no problem, son. And your dad says, there is a problem, and we need to talk about this problem. And their dad says, oh, go to it until you die. And your father says, stop, because this will cause you to die. You see, the devil will just take him right up to the end and tell him, I lied to you all the way. I'm a liar. And I've got your soul now for eternity. But your father loves you so much, he'll allow blocks to be put in front of your path. He'll allow grandmothers to pray for us. He'll allow people to come into our lives that we don't even really want in our life. But there they are, bringing happiness and joy to our lives. So God blesses us. So he loves him who follows righteousness. Turn to the 16th chapter of the book of Acts in the New Testament. Chapter 16, the book of Acts. God loves the person that prays. It's his delight. He loves him who follows righteousness. It's his delight. To receive a sacrifice from a wicked person, that's an abomination because it's hypocritical. And the way of the wicked is abomination. But let's just look at a day in the life of a couple of Christian people that are just cruising in the first century. And this is what should be going on in my life and your life. And I'd like you to note just a little tick mark, a little check mark with your ink pen, okay? Or your pencil, or your crayon, or the lipstick. And just mark where you say, whoa, action. Ooh, action. Oh, more action. Ooh, double action. And put two. And just watch in one little movement here how God works through people who are open to him. Then he came to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy. He was the son of a certain Jewish woman. This is speaking of Paul the Apostle. He came and he met Timothy, the son of a certain Jewish woman who believed. But his father was a Greek. He was well spoken of by the brethren who were at Lystra and Iconium. And of course, you know, 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, written by St. Paul, were written to this young man. He is well spoken of. But Paul wanted to have him go with him on the tour through Asia. And so he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in that region. For they all knew that his father was Greek. But the mother, being a Jew, he wanted the Jewish people to say, hey, we can't trust this guy. And he'll say, no, he's been circumcised. He believes. He believes in the laws of Moses. Paul wanted to have him circumcised and took him with him. So as they went through the cities, they delivered to them the decrees to keep, which were determined by the apostles and the elders at Jerusalem. And they were very short. It's a very short list. And as he's going through Asia, he's bringing what the elders have said to these young Christians. So the churches were strengthened in the faith, and they increased in number daily. Now, you know, I've been here a long time, but I've seen the churches increase. I read reports that churches are going backwards. But just in our county alone, there's at least 26 or 28 that have grown out of this church. To me, that's an awesome thing, because I've never seen another church spin off that many churches in one county like this. So when the church grows in faith, the church grows and multiplies in numbers and locations. But how does the church or a Christian woman or a Christian man grow in faith? Well, Romans tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But how shall the people hear unless the word be preached? But how can the word be preached unless a man is sent? So God sends the word of God to us through preachers and teachers. And then the word comes into us as we're reading it and listening, and the Holy Spirit releases faith because you say, wow, look what it said there. Why wouldn't that apply to my life? And absolutely, it should apply to your life. So they went, and the churches were strengthened in the faith and increased in number daily. Now, when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit. Uh-oh, there's a check mark. Forbidden by the Holy Spirit, but he's invisible. That's right. But people can be stopped by him, right? That's right. People can know when he's stopping them. That's right. See, the Holy Spirit could go, well, you don't want to do this. And you know, you walk right up to it, and he's got his hand there. You say, but I want to do this. And he says, no, don't do it. But your free will, moral character. And you say, step aside, Mr. HS, and you go on your way. And then you get in big trouble, and you reap what you sow. Yes, the Holy Spirit is here. He's with all of us. And he can say stop, or he can say go. The door is wide open. And he is here to minister to you and to help you understand the Lord's will for your particular situation in your own life. So the Holy Spirit forbade them to preach the word in Asia. For whatever reason, the gospel was not supposed to go to Asia at that time. Instead, it goes left, makes a left turn that goes to Europe. And as it goes from Europe, it launches to the British Isles. And from the British Isles and religious persecution, a group of people called the Pilgrims got on the Mayflower and came to what is now the United States of America. And before they ever got off of that ship, they rode out and pledged to one another the Mayflower Compact.
Although a vast vocabulary and a strong command of the English language may land you that CEO position in the company, but without love, as we're told in 1 Corinthians 13, is nothing more than a noisy gong. A soft answer has been the topic of our lesson today on Chapter and Verse, and Mike will conclude this message on our next broadcast. If you'd like to review any or all of the teachings from this series by Mike that we've presented on CNV, you can find a complete listing of this series through the Book of Proverbs on the web in the sermon area under the teaching link at mikemcintosh.com. Chapter and Verse is a listener-supported ministry, so if the Lord places it on your heart to help fund this program on your station, please write to us at Chapter and Verse, P.O. Box 231150, San Diego, California 92193. Again, it's Chapter and Verse, Box 231150, San Diego, California 92193. You can also give online securely at mikemcintosh.com. Be sure to join us next time on CNV when we'll listen to Mike with part two of the message, A Soft Answer. Chapter and Verse is presented by Horizon International Ministries.
And I'll stand up and shout.